Cred Film Radio, Sarajevo Film Festival, Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Hello, dear talent participants. Welcome to this a bit unexpected session by Kristi Puju, the man I shouldn't specially introduce. I'm sure all of you are aware of his work and what he has done before. I'm very honored that he's here with us this year. Last year, he was a part of Tribute 2 program, where his films were screened at the film festival, and there was a very successful career interview last year as well, held within the festival. So I'm honored to have him here, and I would just like, as a perhaps a first question, where to take off from, would be to refer to our theme, that is Imagine, Looking Long and Hard. And with this theme, we want to encourage emerging filmmakers to kind of reach out for visually appealing and striking solutions, as opposed to more predictable, narratively coherent ones. So to do something, that is more of a experiment with imagery, as opposed to think only or firstly about the storyline. So if you can take off from there, would be great. Yeah.
So I'm going. My English is not so good. I would prefer to speak French. But we are living in a sort of post-Second World War Anglo-Saxon influence. So English is the language. I'm gonna say something about the image, but from my position, talking from my position, I didn't want to become a filmmaker. Later on, I discovered that this can be fun. I started by studying painting. So when I switched on cinema, I was already into image somehow. I'm not going to give you a lecture about the image. I'm going to tell you just what I think about the image, which is quite debatable. For instance, most of the directors I worked with, they have the tendency to think that I don't like the image, so I'm looking for bad and ugly images. I don't know what this means. Most of the time I'm entering in a sort of conflicts with the DOPs I'm working with, because cinema is mostly image, and the fact that the DOPs are dealing with the image, they're in charge with the image, they tend to think that the film belongs to them. They are making the film, which is not debatable, it's just rubbish. When DOP wants to make a film, it has to assume the position of a director and has to make the film. But from his position, he is just he has to be like a sort. If you want, there are different kind of positions in an orchestra. I can be the first violin if you want. I tend to think that the first violin in a narrative film are the actors somehow. But if he wants to be the first violin, and if the director accepts, it's the highest position that DOP can be put in, the first violin. It cannot be the conductor. The conductor is the director. So if you are here directors, film directors, it is important to know that the camera belongs to the director. Camera does not belong to the DOP. So if you are having problems with the image, then you have to solve these problems as soon as possible, because otherwise you will lose your film. Because inside of the making of the film, there are as many tendencies as people are involved. So it's very easy to lose your film, because everybody will come with some kind of idea. So it's important to be you, the director, who controls the image. The camera belongs to the director, I used to say. And there is this say of David Mamet, a director has to know what to tell the actors and where to put the camera. And this is basically what the director has to know about and to control, of course. If you search for a different definition, you will find this in Oxford Dictionary. You will have the same thing, the same kind of definition, like the film director is the person who is supervising the filming, the shooting, and the acting. So shooting, filming, the image is something that belongs to the director's kitchen. So this is one thing. The other thing is that I don't think the image in itself can tell you something about something. It's ambiguous enough in order to allow you to think whatever you want, and in order to circumscribe the message, you have to pay attention to what the image is saying. But in the same time, if you are in this narrative cinema, there are lots of other factors who are involved. It's not just the image. So the image has to be organically related with what is happening at the level of acting, storytelling, and everything. I tend to oppose to all these ideas that are stating that a film director is having to look for new kind of angles in order to catch, propose something, to build up the visual, the story. I think the angles are just a consequence of a certain very precise philosophy that is that resides at the very very deep level of the conception of cinema as a whole, and the very specific case of a very precise film. So they are somehow interrelated, but we tend to appreciate the new kind of images. The new is not as new as it seemed to be, and we tend to think that a performance of a film director is related to the limitations of his expression. So a film is more cinema when it found itself, when it's been built on the visual sounds and images more than on the narrative of any kind or acting and so on. We tend to think that if there is a story, we get closer to literature. If there is acting, we get closer to theater. So cinema, the absolute cinema, expression of cinema is dealing with the image and sounds, editing and movements of camera. And well, I don't think it's like this. But this is a long story. I don't think we can cover it in a few minutes. So that's why I'm proposing you to ask me questions, because it would be much easier for me to answer your questions.
In one interview that I recently read on your reflection on this famous phrase of Romanian slow cinema and what you think of it, I mean, you mentioned lack of responsibility and kind of a laziness and hesitation within Romanian people. That's what I understood from this interview. So you said there is no such a thing as a slow cinema, the whole movement that kind of unites Romanian filmmakers. But you mentioned this lack of responsibility and hesitation as such. So if I didn't misquote you, I would like just to elaborate, perhaps once again for all of us here, what are your thoughts in general on this kind of a trend of having Romanian slow cinema that everybody is referring to, all film critics and theoreticians partly, and what are your reflections?
Well, it has to do not just with the Romanian cinema, but in general, how cinema, art house cinema has been perceived by most of the directors that are at the beginning of their careers. The idea that we have on cinema is having different roots, and one of this is the competition, the story of, you have Cannes Film Festival, Berlin, Venice, and so on. So there are some films that got prizes in Cannes. And then after, you are at the beginning and you tend to think that this is how things has to happen. Apparently they appreciate this kind of slow movement, or I don't know, long takes. It is the brain is following the inertia of the education, of the mechanism of education of the individual. You grow up by imitating. You enter in contact with the world by imitating what your mother, father is telling you. You know, you learn how to use the words, how to express yourself by imitating your father and your mother and so on. And when you enter every new field you are going to enter, you are going to keep on imitating. This is how it works. When I started studying painting. It was very important for us, for all of us there, to make reproductions, you know, following the stepping into the footsteps of the masters, you know, old masters. And you, it's true that you are. It helps you discovering, understanding better what painting is. And anyway, at the beginning of this education, there are all these objects and figures. You are copying. You are making drawings after the nature. It's a normal, traditional way of learning. The problem is that when you are entering this new field of cinema, you are tending to do the same thing, and you need to ask yourself the right questions in order to discover, to understand who you are. But this is a long process, and it's having to do with imitating some masters that you are going to pick. You are going to choose some masters. Anyway, this is how things happened to me. I mean, I discovered at a certain moment, I was in the second year, I discovered the work of Cassavetes, and then I followed, I tried to follow. This is one thing, and when it happens in school, it's much more related to cinema as a very precise domain. When this process is happening, when you finish, after finishing school, you're entering this realm of festivals and competition and names and different proposition that has been made by different authors, and you're not alone anyway. Your parents are still there, or I don't know, members of your family, friends, lovers, and etc. And you are going to be caught inside several couple of forces, and in order to escape this, you tend to there is this tendency to subscribe to a trend. And then you are going to make films in like that author or that author, but for reasons that are having nothing to do with cinema. It is very, very, very important to be awake and to understand that there is. You have to pay attention to this as well. It is not just you are alone in this universe and now you are going to express yourself. You are going to make a film so fucking original that it doesn't exist. You tend to think that this is happening like this, but after finishing the studies, you discover that there is this drive, very important drive, in order to be accepted by the others, by the community you belong to do films that people will understand, and it means that you are going to repeat some patterns, and you will find this very not comfortable, but rewarding somehow, because people will identify you as an author. But if things are not happening like this, and if you realize in the beginning that the cinema that you dream of it's can raise some kind of problems and can cut your the relationship that you have with the exterior world, or that is happening outside your brain, the community you are part of, if you assume these risks, then maybe you are in a position to propose something that belongs to you and just to you, to say something about the world as it happens to be, to happen inside your brain, inside yourself. But this is a very serious problem. That's why when I'm talking about Romanian cinema, things happen like this. The death of Mr. Lăzăr. The death of Mr. Lăzărescu got a prize in Cannes. Everybody wanted to get a prize in Cannes, so everybody started imitating this. Period. All the other things are coming after. And if, of course, everyone adds something of his and so on. So there is having this the same common, you know, is it very hard to grow up inside the cinema where everybody is singing the same song? It's extremely boring and it kills you. At a certain point, is not just the Romanian cinema, but the new cinema, the newcomers in cinema are being exposed to this. There is a very serious risk because we learn by imitating, and we have to be aware of this fact. And then you build up some kind of hierarchies, local hierarchies, so maybe internationally, but I'm the best I don't know, long takes director in my neighborhood, in my apartment, in my family. You have to survive somehow, and you have not just to survive, but to live comfortably. So you have to tell you a story. You have to tell a story to yourself, a story about yourself, where in this story you are a hero of some kind. It becomes very, very dangerous. So you have to get rid of all this shit, because it's just rubbish. Life is too short, and it's vivere pericolosamente is the right choice. So have the guts to tell what the world, how the world appears to you, and then the guts to assume the critics and the rejection. Because it will be like this. When I did my first film, lots of people came to television to say that this is a bullshit. Who the fuck is this guy? Anyway, he studied like painting and then cinema. But cinema, studying cinema in Switzerland. Who the fuck are the Swiss? They don't have a cinema. And this, all this story about myself, about my first film. Then after I did the second film, and the second film got a prize in Cannes, and then everybody started using the handheld camera, and this is extremely boring. So during my school years, and it's having to do with the image, because they tend to think that this is an ugly image, it's an anesthetic to have a handheld camera. But, well, this is a long discussion here. Of course, I don't think this, I don't think so, but, and I have the arguments, but first I would like to say something about this, my position inside cinema. I'm coming from painting. I never dreamt to be a director. I thought cinema is vulgar and is for the masses, and this was the starting point. And then after I discovered some authors, and I discovered that I was wrong. And I fall in love with cinema, and then I start to understand how it works. And for me, the starting point had to be me and the camera, a single object. So it had to be the handheld camera, because it had to be a part of myself. Because the camera on the tripod, for me, it was two different things. And the position of the camera, it had to be shot it at the eyes level. Everything had to be clear for me in order to understand what cinema is, and to make the steps towards the camera on the tripod, and then to use maybe at a certain point the traveling. I cannot use the traveling. I don't understand it. I don't understand the zoom. I don't understand the grue, crane. Grue is in French. Crane. So maybe at a certain point I will get to understand all these mechanisms. It's very hard to understand the panoramic, but then I can integrate it because I am moving my head. So if I move my head, but in the same time you don't do the pan, in fact, with your eyes, never. The eyes are jumping. So basically what I'm doing is trying to understand what cinema is, and don't know what exactly cinema is. I discovered some things and I changed my mind several times, and but I try to understand it by doing, making films, focusing from time to time on different kind of problem, and trying to understand what is this and what is that. And in the end, I discovered in the fact I am using cinema in order to understand what is happening in my life. I think it would be better to understand what is happening in my life first, and then just to make films, to turn it the other way around. I think image, the image, it's a temptation. It's a very serious temptation. The new image. There is a natural tendency of the brain to build autonomous worlds, and then you are going to search for the new image in order to build an autonomous world. A film has to be an autonomous world. That's why people are rejecting these so-called realist cinema, realist film, Romanian films, because we see this every day. I don't want to go to cinema to see this. But do they see it every day? No, they don't see it. Nobody sees nothing, basically. Nobody is watching, nobody is listening. So what we are doing is listening to ourselves. We are stuck in our heads, and we are projecting the images that we already recorded sometime, and then we are entering a sort of faked relationship with the world, with the events that are happening in front of, are developing, that are unfolding at the present time, most of the time. And when we are getting in contact with, it's like a rebirth. You are realizing, wow, what is? You are suffering a sort of shock, not a big shock, but a shock, a little shock. And then something is happening with you, and then you start asking yourself questions, and maybe something is going to change in your perception. But looking for the new images, I think this is a trap, and a very serious trap. The image has to be the consequence of a thought. So if it is not a consequence of the thought, of a thought, it is just not. It's just decorative, and we tend to fall in this trap. Because we are being surrounded by people who have very little to do with cinema, so they are going to give you their opinions. It's like, you know, somebody is telling you, I discovered a restaurant, go there, it's very good. So you go there and you eat it, and it's very bad. And you say, what the fuck is eating at home? I mean, if this is good. So there are people, because most of the people are going to watch films, to go to cinema and watching films, and then they tend to think that they understand and know something. They can say something about cinema. And so they are going to tell you, listen, this is good, this, wow, what a nice image. Oh. You don't pay attention. It's a paradox. We are going to choose, when we are choosing these domains of activity, that are being related with art, with the expression of yourself. This is coming from a sort of very strong pulsion, amour propre, a self-esteem. No, it's not a term, but it's really a sort of narcissistic tendency. There's a big amount of narcissism in this choice. And then when somebody is close to you and is telling you that, wow, this is great, grandpa is telling you out, you have to become an actor because you are so funny, and then people tend to think that there is some kind of a truth in what the grandma just said, and because she said good things, it's good to hear that you are good, that you are handsome, beautiful. I don't know, your friends usually are doing this, your brothers, sisters, members of your family, your close ones, who are not going to say that, to tell you that you are an asshole. Oh, you're bad. This is bad. What you did here? Oh, no. Now, if you cook something and you offer them some biscuits, they are going to eat it and say, oh, nice, and they are going to talk about the bright side of the object that they just eat. Is it good? And maybe there is a big amount of mistakes coming from the expectations that we are having. So see, Romanian cinema, Romanian new wave, everybody was talking, wow. Yes, because they didn't expect the monkeys to talk. The international community, Cannes Film Festival, wow, the Romanian cinema, wow, they do film, they make films, oh, they are talking. I'm exaggerating a bit, but not too much. In fact, it is like this, the expectations were very low. Like during the Romanian Revolution, there was this formula. People were talking about the polenta, but polenta does not explode. The Romanians are being the polenta eaters. The Bulgarians, apparently, I heard they are called as mamaligar. It's coming from polenta. So the polenta eaters. So they used to say that the polenta does not explode during the revolution. And it did explode. So there were some surprises. Anyway. There are these expectations as well. So the parents are the best in this, and they are going to tell you good things. So your friends again, and when they are being critical, the tendency is to hate them. He's having something against me. Why are you so mean? Being critical, it's not. I don't really like this. No, you're just jealous. You're just, I don't know. And this is, it keeps on going, and you are being stuck. You discover, if you discover this during your lifetime, you are saved. You are a lucky one, because if you discover this during your lifetime, that first it's are just very few people that really understand cinema. Even if, I mean, from those who are making films, who really ask themselves real questions regarding cinema, very few. Then there are those who are loving you because of reasons that are having nothing to do with cinema, so they are going to tell you good things regarding your next last film. So if you pay attention to all this, and there are some others, maybe you will be able to get to the point of seeing and not projecting. And I think this is the most important thing when you are talking about cinema. The most important thing is to see, to realize that you don't see, and little by little maybe you will get to see the world. We tend to see following a certain pattern. We start seeing after we receive the education that we received, you know, not focusing especially on cinema, but the education, all this thing that is called education, coming from the parents, from the street, from your friends, from, I don't know, experiences that you lived and or focus on cinema. The moment you open your eyes and you start seeing, you see already things that you have seen before. You know, it's very hard to get rid of this pattern. Where do you put the camera now? Some people here, I am talking here, you are there listening, where do you put the camera in order to tell the story of this event? Just one position of the camera, just one shot, where do you put the best? And then you realize that whatever you do, most of the ideas that will come to your mind will have to do a lot with the images that are already recorded here in your brain. The brain is giving you lots of solutions, but where these solutions are coming from? From the images that you recorded till the moment when you have to decide where to put the camera in order to tell the story of this event here. I think this is something that you have to be aware of. Then you have to be aware of the fact that in order to tell the story of this event, you have to get first in touch with this event, I mean to resonate with this event, and to ask yourself, what is this event for me? It's a title of Romanian poet, the title of a poem. It's called My Love for You, Mother, is Also a Toy. And I thought, how comes a toy and my love sounds counterintuitive somehow? But maybe it is so. And if you are true to yourself, maybe you'll discover this as well. That maybe in order to tell the story of this event, maybe you know, shooting this would be better, to shoot this bottle and this glass and this HP here. I don't know, but you have to let yourself be confronted with what is happening, enter in sort of resonance with what is happening here, and maybe you will not find a solution today, now, maybe in 2 days, in 2 months, maybe you'll realize that telling the story of this, of an event like this, is in fact I don't know, it's having to do with, I don't know, filming the shadows on the pavement somewhere in Barcelona. I said, this is the Sarajevo.
Are there any questions from you guys?
I was wondering, what's the difference between the thought that is the that makes a shot, like the shot should be consequence of a thought,
yeah.
And the thoughts that are like pre-designed in our heads, of planted.
It's preconceived, some ideas.
Mm-hmm. Pre-recorded. Basically, I think that what is happening is that you are finding yourself in a sort of mechanism. The way the brain is delivering the images is having to do with a long series of permutation of images that you already saw. It's almost impossible to escape this. They are just a sort of combination of images and colors, and they are just here. I think, or I tend to think that when it is about something fundamental, something essential, this thing cannot be expressed. This is something that you live, you experience, but in order to express what you experience, you enter this very enter the labyrinth of the sort of cultural labyrinth. So picking images and words and concepts, and you are mixing them. You get to make another, if new, salad of what the world is. I think the most important things that can happen to an individual cannot be expressed by the individual in question. I mean, you as a director, you cannot express what you felt, what you entered in relation with when you resonate with the world, with a certain kind of truth. Doesn't have to be an act of revelation, but can be a revelation of kind, coming from God, who knows. But when you try to express it, then you have to use this kind of tools that are the images, the words, the lots of means of expression. Then you will not express what you just experienced, just bits of this experience, and then this message that you build up is going to get to an audience. And the audience is going to decode it using a different dictionary than yours, and we will find the distance between the original experience and my interpretation as a spectator is going to get bigger. So if I try to make this distinction between what is a thought that came to my mind and then the image as a consequence of this, of a thought, or of a thought that appeared, I have to assume that inside the image that I'm going to create, there is just one or two elements that can say something about what I did experience. And these details will never get to the audience as they are. They are going to be decoded by them. So in the end, it is not just, it's not quite optimistic what is happening. It's not not just theoretically. There's no way of, it is not about the film that you are making. In order to get to something more important than what you experience till the moment you made the film, you have to think of the film as an object, as a sort of mirror. And this is the best position of a film. It is to be a mirror. What is important is what you get after it, and at different levels, and unperceivable by the naked eye. I don't know if I am coherent. What I think is that cinema has to be lived as what it is. There are people coming day by day with their camera, with actors or not, and they are shooting, they are filming, then they are going to edit. Then this is an event in itself. At the end of the day, at the end of the program, the project is finished, you have an object. At the origin of this object, there were so many thoughts and feelings and emotion involved and so on. The object cannot transmit this. The object in the best case scenario will be an autonomous object that is going to tell the people and to you something more than what you had at the beginning of the project. And this is it happens just if you assume that you are there in order to record what is happening and to be present, but present in order to record what is happening, and what is happening is having very little to do with the trigger of the event, which is the filming, the shooting, the making of the film. Meaning that life can put inside your film bits of truth that you cannot install them there, because we are limited by our perception. You have to walk the road. You have to do your job. You have to do your job. You have to be there. You have to film. You have to be present. You have to pay attention to. You have to enter in resonance with what is happening. You have to be present and to let the things, the event unfolding. You are controlling it. You are pushing from the side. You are going to give some indications to the actors. You are going to intervene. I don't know where are the limits of intervention. What I know is that it's when I work, there are lots of thoughts that are coming to my spirit, and I tend to think of some of them that they belong to me. Nothing belongs to us. The thoughts are there from forever. And then somehow you hear them, somehow they are combined, you know, words are combining inside your head. You tend to think that you are in control. Nobody is in control, and this is a fact. But the illusion of control, it exists, and then you start pushing the actors towards the objective you fixed to yourself, to follow the story, to follow the script, and to get in the end a meaning, some kind of a meaning. But the most important things that are happening during the shooting are the things that you don't control. This is what happened to me. This is what I realized. And for me, it's enough. I'm not going to say that now I can die because I understood this, and it's enough for me. But it's more than enough. Allows me to watch the world, the things. At a certain point, I was asking myself, if cinema exists before pushing the button rec? Because if it exists, why do we make films? I think it exists. We are making films. Films that are... Now we are making everyday films about what we are doing. We are editing. The brain has been conceived like this. It's not like the brain at a certain point in the history of the humankind decided, some brains decided, we are going to build up this tool in order to record life, and this becomes cinema, I don't know. Les Frères Lumière or Edison, or I don't know, invented cinema, and then they invented a tool that is copying somehow the way the brain is functioning, and it is a sort of extension. It's nothing new in of course there is the frame, so it is rectangular in most of the cases.
One question: when you refer to the frame and limits of control and intervention, the film I had in mind is Aurora, done by you. And can you elaborate more on the relation between limits of control as a filmmaker and Aurora itself as a final product and object? Because I'm aware there is a control from your side, definitely, and most probably within the plot, but also it seems as if there is no control because of the protagonist, the way he is and how he behaves and... interacts with different situations. So.
Yeah, but this is the let's say this is the first layer. This impression, it's the first layer. It's like the skin is the epidermic level of the film. Making the film. At the end of the film, and I needed 3 or more years in order to recover because it was an extremely schizophrenic experience. But the main idea, the starting point was the fact that we cannot enter somebody's head, not because it's defending itself, but because we cannot escape our own head in order to meet the other. So this was basically the starting point. Then after, it turned to be much more interesting in the end when I was in the editing room to notice at what point I've been helped by, I don't know, by God himself or herself or by the Big Bang. Anyway, there were lots of things that happened there. So I felt that I was lucky. I was lucky. I thought, I'm not going to thank Ceausescu for building this awful apartment, small apartment. But the fact that it was a small apartment allow me to build up the composition. In order to build up the composition inside the space, I had to put the camera in a different room and to film in the other room. And then when I did this for the first time, I said, c'est la belle vie. This is une mise en abîme extraordinaire. We see the character through the doors, And I've been helped somehow by lots of constraints. But in the end, if you ask me, there are very few things that that are important in this film and the other films that I made. Just very few things, and I didn't put them there. They came from somewhere. And of course, there is this theory that if you let a monkey typewriter machine, at a certain point, going to write the I don't know, the Shakespeare's whole dramas, no, which is rubbish, it's impossible, no, to have this by accident. I don't think things are happening by accident. So there were things that added to the significance of the film. I think when, I don't know.
I was just referring to limits of control and intervention that you have as a director and creator of the whole story, and it seems as if there is no intervention coming from your side because of the encounters that the protagonist has and different situations he enters and how he behaves, because it's completely unpredictable. That's kind of my impression as a viewer.
It was unpredictable for the camera, guys of the camera as well. Because the main thing that I told them is don't anticipate, camera does not anticipate. And they wanted to show the audience that they read the script, so they did anticipate. So I had to stop. No, don't anticipate. So then we build up the, because I was in every frame of the film, we build up the mise-en-scène, and then action. And I was pretty much going the other direction in order not to let them anticipate, to surprise the camera. It's incredible how people are afraid, at what point people are afraid of the new, of losing the control.
I am a director and I write my own scripts because the school is like that. So and I don't have an experience of working with a script writer. I didn't manage to connect with anyone, so and they write lousy scripts. So my question is, and they keep telling me, our teachers keep telling us, the more we write in the script, so I have no idea where the director's process should be made. Is it something that I write in the script, or I have because I have these two people, I guess, inside. One is a scriptwriter and the other is a director, and I have no idea which one is me. Because when I'm on the set, I am so a script writer still. I'm not a director on the set because I have no idea. I'm sorry if I'm.
How do you know you're a script writer?
That is what I've done so far. So
So you keep on going, no?
Yeah, I have no idea what should I do on the
what
set.
What a director has to do.
Yeah, exactly. And if.
What do you feel? I mean,
well, usually I'm frightened by everything, and so I end up doing nothing. I know this is wrong.
If you feel like doing something, you have to just do what you feel to do.
But
on the set,
it's not that easy because you have all of these people that are.
Yes, but don't pay attention to your image anymore. So do. Just do, and then that's all. Anyway, you pay attention to your image, to be polite and gentle with the others, and the others are going to pay you back big. Then you stop, the film is stopped, the shootings are stopped, and then you hear later on, well, he's an asshole. And you tried during the whole shooting to be nice with them, and then you hear back that you've been an asshole. So, forget about it. Be an asshole.
Yes, but I am asking you if where do I draw the line between script writing and directing?
This does not exist. This is an administrative question. If you can be a script writer and a doctor, specialist in cardiology, and in the same time can be a gardener and can be a cook and everything. This is just administrative. You cannot be in this society because you need a diploma, you need to go to school. But imagine yourself living 1,000 years and going through different schools, you'll receive this kind of acceptance from the others. That does not exist. This does not exist. I'm a screenwriter and I want to make... No, if you make films, if you make a film, if you are a screenwriter or if you are a waiter in a... I don't know what kind of a restaurant, and you start making a film, you are a filmmaker when you make a film. The diplomas are for idiots.
Unfortunately,
if you want to make a film, make it, and that's all. There's no limit between screenwriter. It is just you. You want to put these limits, and this is becomes interesting for me. But I'm not a therapist, but can be interesting. No, really, not. No offense, but it is
offense taken.
No, you see, it is. Why do you have this kind of problem? If you have a camera, if you start to make a film, if you shoot a film, you are a filmmaker. If this filmmaker includes being a screenwriter, an actor, a DOP, Chaplin was what? He was even composing the music for his films, and he acted in his films, he shot it, and he directed. Blah, 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 blah. He had to have a lot of problems. So now I'm composing the film, the music, and where are the limits? I mean, I'm an actor who is composing for the film. No, it doesn't exist. This is the inertia of the education we receive. So that's why people are getting aggressive. And I've been aggressed with this question. Why do you decide to play in your own film? The answer is because I love myself so much, I can't stand it. What to answer to this? And at the beginning I was entering this kind of answer, you know, listen, I had this and the concept, and nobody wanted to hear this. Everybody wanted to hear this answer, because I am narcissistic, I love my cell phone. And they laughed and they let me be. They let it me be, so nobody's interested in that.
Do you consider your films viable in a gallery, like an... not a dark room? Do you think that the perception depends if it's a product for cinema or a product for galleries?
Of course. I think cinema is overrated. If somebody wants to watch my film on this, I'm okay. I have no problem. I don't give a shit. If it is a gallery, if it is whatever, I don't give a shit. But if I want to watch a film, I want to watch it in the best conditions. This is me. Otherwise, I have no problem if people are wanting to watch it like this or like this. At the beginning, yes, I was so, you've been at this screening. It was a very bad screening, the bad sound, and all. I can explain, I wanted to do this and that. And hold your horses. But this is at the beginning. When you are at the beginning, you want people to integrate you as to have the right opinion on you, to not to be misunderstood, and you are getting mad of some kind of some sound problems or image and you are getting mad. It's stupid. It's a waste of time. But if I want to watch a film, I need it to watch it in the best conditions. Best conditions, no matter the film.
So even if it uses an aesthetic of the ugly?
It's the aesthetic of the?
Ugly, like you said your films are.
Doesn't matter. I love so many films. I love so many tendencies.
So a film is for the big screen?
No. If I want to watch a film, I want to watch it in the best conditions. And the best conditions for me is not the big screen as you understanding, we understanding it, like going to cinema with a lot of people. I don't need a lot of people. It's just myself. I need myself and the screen and the good sound, and that's all. Because, you know, I don't know here, but in Romania, everybody is talking during the film. They're answering the telephones, they are eating, they are making comments. Fuck her. And it's disturbing when you see, it happens to me when I was to see this No Country for Old Men, the Brother Coen's film, and suddenly at a certain point a telephone rang, and I thought it's in the film. There was in a certain moment, I mean, very, very well put it, you know, there was a tension, and then, oh, cool. So it's, no, I prefer to stay at home. I have a screen, I have a projector, this is the best conditions. And then after cinema, but the first contact with the film has to be perfect. I mean, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Fred Film Radio,
24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.